from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Right now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, it's the day we've been waiting for over 15 months. California finally reopens, but we're not totally back to normal. The restrictions still in place.
Plus, excitement for a lot of small businesses, how they are welcoming back customers with these newly relaxed rules.
And triple-digit heat on tap. Mary shows us when the hottest temperatures will roll in. Good morning to you. It's Tuesday, June 15th. I'm Lynn Keyes.
And I'm Ann McAvick in for Michelle. We begin with that weather warm-up.
Yeah, Mary, we've still got one more day until the hottest temperatures arrive, though.
Yeah, we are looking at temperatures on the rise as we look to Wednesday, and especially on Thursday, the peak of our heat. So for today, starting to warm up, daytime highs a little bit above average for this time of year. But boy, triple digit heat is on the way. As we look to our temperatures this afternoon, low 60s along the coast, low to mid 70s around the bay, and 80s to low 90s inland. We are looking at plenty of sunshine for today, but we will be talking about heat advisories that start tomorrow. We're looking at heat advisories that continue with an excessive heat warning as we look to Thursday and for Friday. So dangerous heat on the way. All right, let's check in with Gianna for a look at traffic and the Bay Bridge starting to back up this morning.
Yes, it is. We are starting to start to see those brake lights westbound as you work your way out of the East Bay into San Francisco. Live look here at the toll plaza, and it's getting just a little bit busy there as traffic starts to back up there at the Bay Bridge. No metering lights again just yet, but we'll keep an eye on that. We are seeing those brake lights though forming across the upper deck into San Francisco. Also busy as you head out of the Tracy area, the Tracy Triangle, over towards the Altamont Pass. We've got the usual stuff for super commuters, so a lot of brake lights at least to North Flint. You'll see some more as you approach the Dublin Interchange. And the South Bay, you've got a slow ride northbound 101 right around that 280-680 connector, and south of there for folks commuting out of Gilroy. You're going to see some brake lights as you work your way into Morgan Hill.
A very momentous day this morning on the road to recovery. The countdown to California's grand opening is officially over.
Yeah, almost all of the COVID restrictions we've been living with for more than a year now will only be a memory. Starting now, no more capacity limits, distancing rules, and for the most part, no more face coverings.
It'll be awesome. I'm tired of wearing masks, so really looking forward to it and really looking forward to seeing more people around.
I guess I'm still a little apprehensive.
Well, I wear them now anyway, and I think I'll continue to wear them until most of the population is vaccinated.
While many people across the Bay Area are ready to rip those masks off, others still are not so sure. Either way, today, masks are still required in the workplace, but that could soon change. Cal OSHA is set to vote later on this week on whether all employees should be required to keep masking up. We have live team coverage all morning long as California says goodbye to the tears and hello to a little normalcy.
Yeah, Justin Andrews is live in Pleasant Hill with the rules still in place for commuters, but first, let's go live to Emily Turner, live on the peninsula at a bakery that just started welcoming in customers. Sounds pretty sweet there, Emily.
Yeah, I know. Don't be too envious. We'll maybe bring you guys back a treat. We'll see. But in the meantime, I know there are multiple people, many people who are excited about the big change up today, but especially business owners. I'm with Ralph, who owns Copenhagen Bakery here in Burlingame. I mean, we're standing in the dining room. What is the one big change that, you know, today you can now make in here?
Well, we can put tables back to where we had them before and not keep the distance. As you can see, these, we have the signs on them, you know, nobody to sit there. But we're just starting to put them back together the way we had them before. Now, obviously, we'll have a bigger capacity, but we'll leave it to the people to see what they feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of an...
You kind of feel your way through this, I think.
Yeah, everyone will probably have a different level of comfort.
Absolutely, yeah. So we'll see. At times, I've looked in the dining room and well, I thought normally we would be busy in here, and we see just a few people, and then outside it's packed, and then the next day it's packed inside, you know, with all the tables that were available then.
Yeah.
So you never knew what to expect.
Now, before the pandemic, did you have extensive sidewalk seating?
Not like we do now. I mean, we used to have just the tables around the edge of the building here. And before that, and after that, we could you know, put them all over out there. And city was very flexible then. Before, they used to come and harass us all the time. The tables were too far out, and people put the chairs out in front. They wanted certain distance for people to walk, and
do you think
on
that,
and on.
Do you think those tables and the extended outdoor seating is going to be something that sticks around, is more permanent?
Well, we'd like it to be, you know. I think it's nice to have it outside. It gives a nice ambience, I think, with outside. But I think that the bad thing is all these parklets, though. It's just killing the parking. So, I mean, I think that, I don't know where they're going to go with that, but I see, you know, a lot of the people are trying to recover from this downturn in the restaurants, just exclusive restaurants. Luckily, we are a bakery, too, so that's kind of helped us survive this whole thing. Mm-hmm.
So did that kind of change your business model? Because I know you have a full menu, but were people just, I mean, it's what, just the bakery that's kept you afloat?
Well, it kept us afloat initially, for sure. And in fact, it picked up in some ways. The big items disappeared, you know, the big weddings and stuff. That stopped being possible to have. So we had a lot of cancellations initially for weddings that were booked that had to be canceled. But then we picked up other things, and bread business picked up, and we started having a grocery store there in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, selling milk and eggs and yeast for people, and that was good for a while. That's a,
and you just had
pretty
to make
much
it,
disappeared now.
Had to
but
make it but work. Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of bobbed and weaved with it a bit, you know, but we managed somehow. So.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here. Glad yeah. we get to enjoy the coffee and the cookies because, right? Mm-hmm. Who doesn't need a comfort cookie during COVID? I think we. Are all glad that the gyms are going to be back open for that reason, right? We'll have more. We'll talk to some customers the next half hour. But in the meantime, we are live in Burlingame. Emily Turner, KPIX 5.
Yeah, it is so interesting to hear, you know, those challenges, something that business owners all over the Bay Area can relate to. We appreciate the perspective. Emily, thanks.
All right, so where can you ditch the mask and where do you have to keep it on? Justin Andrews is clearing up any of the confusion live from Pleasant Hill BART. Justin.
Good morning. We actually talked to a couple ladies this morning. They were catching BART to the airport, and yes, they were rocking their mask. Right now, you can take a look right here. People, we've been seeing them go inside here with their mask on. They know the routine, but we also know some people don't know the routine. They don't know when or where to put on that mask. So you need to keep that mask on when catching BART and other public transportation like airports, ships, ferries, trains, and taxis. This includes train and bus stations too. You also have to wear that mask for in schools, K through 12, childcare, and other youth settings. The state's Health and Human Services Director noted that that could potentially change based on their conversations with the CDC. If you are unvaccinated, you must continue to wear a mask in indoor public settings. So, if you catch BART, how will the mask requirement be enforced? Take a listen.
So, from the very beginning of the pandemic, BART has taken an educational perspective on enforcement rather than being heavy-handed. So, we want to tell our riders, hey, listen, you need to have a mask to come in here. And then if we see someone without a mask, our station agents, our BART police officers, our BART police non-sworn officers who are patrolling the trains, have masks, and they will ask someone either to put on a mask or give them a mask. Okay. And so the vast majority of the people, 96% at our last data capture, are wearing their masks.
So that mask mandate will continue throughout the rest of the next couple months. It'll end, we're told, probably in mid-September. We're live in Pleasant Hill this morning. I'm Justin Andrews, KPIX 5.
I'm taking a live look at the city of San Francisco, where this morning Mayor London Breed is going to talk about the reopening. The city has already announced it is going to align itself with state guidelines on masks and general business operations. High-risk events will have some extra restrictions. Mayor Breed and Dr. Colfax announced what they are calling the Safer Together Order. Mega events will need to submit a health and safety plan 10 days in advance. Indoor mega event organizers will need to collect proof of vaccination or negative test results. And once the vaccines receive full FDA authorization, those living in congregate settings will be required to get vaccinated.
Turning now to our other big story this morning, we're talking the weather. The Bay Area bracing for dangerous heat with those triple-digit temperatures on the way. With the heat set to bake much of the state, CAISO is warning high demand for power could overload the grid. At this point, no blackouts are expected, but the operator could issue flex alerts starting tomorrow.
We are going to be leaning on California consumers, and that will come in the form of calling a flex alert. Californians have historically responded very well to our calls for help.
Of course, I would be very disappointed, but I think I have to understand, and that's all you can do. Just hope for the best that people don't suffer.
Now, if a flex alert is called, consumers will be asked to conserve energy, especially between the hours of 4 and 9 p.m.